I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give the Lord a Wednesday night praise? Oh, thank you, Lord. Open your Bible with me tonight, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. On the weekends, we're talking about we're made for a mission. We're made for a mission. But on Wednesday nights, and this is more work for me, but I love what I get to do. Amen. Because most churches don't have a midweek service anymore. I love Wednesday night. How about you? I'm thankful for it. And I want to feed you on Wednesday nights from the Word of God on what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit. Do y'all remember our surveys that we gave to you earlier this year? This was one of, we've been trying to, you know, chop away at what you asked me to teach on. This was one of the subjects you asked me to teach on, was the Holy Spirit. And so I simply want to be as simple as I can, as clear as I can, and we have action steps at the end of every message, but I want to talk to you about what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit. Is that okay tonight before we splash? All right, praise the Lord. So look at Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to give you a few scriptures to build our case, then I'm going to give you three takeaways, action steps. Is that okay? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to dissect this, break this down. Look what it says, but you shall receive power. Notice the Holy Spirit is not power, he's a person. The Holy Spirit is not power, he's a person. You cannot have a relationship with power. That's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. You cannot have a relationship with a power or a feeling or an emotion. You have to have a relationship with a person. You with me? So the Holy Spirit is not power, so don't refer to him as power. He's a person. But notice he says, when you receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be. Would you notice that phrase? Not you shall do, not do witnessing, but you will be a witness. So you and I need the Holy Spirit and a relationship with the Holy Spirit to be the person God wants us to be. You and I cannot be the Christian husband, Christian wife, Christian mother or father, Christian son or daughter, Christian Christ-like employee or employer without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give you power to do witnessing. He gives you power to be a witness. And as your pastor who loves you, I'd rather you be a witness than do a witness. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, some people will go out and pass out tracts. I'm all for that, by the way. That's one method of fulfilling our mission. But some people will go out and pass out a tract, but they'll go home and act unchristlike. They'll go back to their family and act opposite of what Christ is like. So they went out and did witnessing, but they didn't go home and be a witness. Thus, their kids grew up, saw hypocrisy, and said, I don't want church. Because my parents weren't a witness. They weren't being one. Does that make sense to everybody? So notice, Jesus said, you'll receive power, dunamis power, explosive power, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and he will empower you to be a witness. Not do it, but be it. Y'all understand that? I think you do. That's important because I want to be the person God wants me to be. Now, to be the pastor, the feeder, the leader, the equipper, to be the employer, to be the husband, the father, the grandfather, the son, the brother that I am, I need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, I can't be who God wants me to be, because I can't do it in my own power. Does that make sense? All right, so He said, then you'll be a witness, and then I want you to see, first He said, to me in Jerusalem. Now, this is the upper room, right, church? This is the upper room. Everybody say upper room. This is the upper room where this is all happening and going to happen. Pastor Kim referred to it in Acts 2. They were all in one accord on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. That's important. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this intentionally. Where is this happening? In the upper room. Okay. So He said that first you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem. And that's where the upper room was, right? Where they were going to meet in the city of Jerusalem. So if you're a note taker, then you are empowered to be a witness where you live. Jerusalem represents a type and shadow where you live. So you and I, with a relationship with the Holy Spirit, partnering with Him, you and I will be empowered and enabled to be the husband or the wife or the mother, the father, the son, the daughter. We need to be where we live, at our house, at our home, where we live. That's good news, because some people, you know, they believe the myth that I can't live in this house, I can't be a Christian in my family, I can't serve the Lord with the people around me. But according to this scripture, you can. He will empower you and enable you to be a witness in Jerusalem or the house, the city where you live. So you and I can be overcoming Christians in St. Louis, right? We can be the people God created us to be and make a difference with our life, be world changers, but it starts in our house and in our city. So yeah, we care about Brazil and India and Africa. I got an email today from pastors in Kenya that watch us online that want us to come and hold leadership seminars in Kenya. We're all for Kenya. You know, we're building wells with James Robinson every month through our missions. We're all for that. But the good thing to know is that you and I can be a witness where we live in St. Louis, right? In the house that you live in the city, and then make it down, be specific, in the house you live in. Oh, praise God. That's good news. All right. Then he goes on and he says, in Judea. So when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He gives you power. He enables us, He empowers us to be an overcoming Christian, our light shine, finish our mission, fulfill God's destiny, be the person God wants us to be in Judea. Judea would be the county, the county. You and I don't live in Israel, but what does this mean for you and I? It's a type and shadow. Judea would be St. Charles County, Lincoln County, Warren County, St. Louis County, the county that you live in. So isn't it good to know that even in St. Louis County, that we can be the Christian, Christ follower, believer God wants us to be? That we can be light and darkness? Come on, somebody, this is so exciting. Because so many of us, the devil will lie to you and make you think you're a minority, that you don't have the power, that you can't rise up, that you can't be bold, that you can't be a witness, that you can't live for God, that your kids can't live for God, that everybody's going to hell in a handbasket. Those are myths, those are lies from the pit of hell. Because according to this scripture, when we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to live for God at your house. He enables you to live for God in your city, and then Judea, our county. Boy, that's exciting to me. The word works in St. Louis, St. Charles, Warren, Lincoln County. Then he says, in Samaria. Big hairy deal, Pastor. It is a big hairy deal. Because who lived in Samaria? The Samaritans. Who were the Samaritans? People of another race. People of another color. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. And remember they said to Jesus, how could you be talking to this woman And then on top of that, she's a Samaritan. She's of another culture. Oh, come on, Church Rock. We should celebrate this, because here tonight we have Asians. We have, at our church right here right now, we have Russians. We have African Americans. We have Caucasians. We have people of all different backgrounds. We have Hispanics. Isn't this wonderful? Because we are to be a witness to people of another different culture than we are. We're to love and accept and believe and empower, amen, people who are Samaritans. Well, Pastor, I don't live in Samaria. No, you don't. But here in our city, we have people of all different ethnic backgrounds. All different ethnic backgrounds. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has empowered us to be able to witness to people of a different color of skin, a different ethnic background, a different culture than we have. We are to integrate, we are to accept, we are to love and minister to people of a different culture than ours. Right there in the Bible. Come on, Church of the Rock, can we celebrate that? Because we do that. We do that. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. You know, Bishop Dale Bronner, you know, he's a good friend of ours, Bishop Dale Bronner. And, you know, he's coming again next year, and he came last year. And, you know, he was just with President Trump. I don't know if you knew that or not. John Gray, Bishop Dale Bronner, was just with our president talking about how do we reach the inner city. How do we reach the poor? How do we reach the less fortunate? You know, isn't it awesome? Come on, somebody, that we understand in the body of Christ, we should lead the way in accepting, loving, ministering, equipping people of a different culture than ours. Oh, praise God. You can see this is near and dear to your pastor's heart. All right? So then the Samaria, and then he empowers us, the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. That would be locally and globally. That would be all over the United States and then all over the world. You have some churches that don't give a hoot. I don't know where I got hoot, but they don't give a hoot about foreign nations. And then you got other churches that don't care about, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, their county, and all they care about is the nations. At Church on the Rock, you pray for me. I try to lead you to show you we have all kinds of missions and outreach locally in Jerusalem, St. Louis, in our county, St. Louis, St. Charles, Lincoln, and Warren, but then all throughout the United States and the nations. And isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit, when we'll partner with Him, He'll empower us, He'll give us the power to be the person God wants us to be in 2018. Oh, praise the Lord. All right? So now go with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 13 through chapter 17, we know that to be the Last Supper. Am I right, church? That John 13 through John 17 is the Last Supper. Now, isn't this where Jesus gave His last words to His disciples? And you and I realize that the last words of anybody is usually the most important. Am I right? My pastor, who's now in heaven, John Osteen, Joel's father, John Osteen ordained Kim and I. John Osteen was our pastor. And they told us that when he passed away, he talked to me on Friday of the weekend he passed away. I was at home on my treadmill, and we have a landline. And we have that phone on the wall. And I'm on my treadmill, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was Pastor John Osteen. This was on Friday. He passed away that weekend. And we talked, and, you know, we visited this, that, and the other, and then, you know, hung up. And then I found out that he passed away that weekend. And I asked his son-in-law, Gary, what were the last words, because he was with him, John Osteen, he was with John, Gary, his son-in-law, was with him and said the last words out of John Osteen's mouth was, had his hands raised, sitting on the living room floor, said, "Praise ye the Lord for His mercy, endureth forever. And then he passed away. Now that's scripture, by the way. Psalm 138. And remember in Chronicles when they sent the praisers out to win the battle? That was what they said. Praise ye the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. So those are the last words of my pastor on this earth. These are the last words of the chief shepherd of the church, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the chief shepherd. So John 13 through 17, those chapters, you and I need to study them so we know the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit. Because John 13 through John 17 is the Last Supper, and I have a question. How many of you know where it was held? In the upper room. It was held in the upper room. The Last Supper was in the upper room. The same upper room when Jesus said, go there and tarry until you're endued from power on high, and then you'll be witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Same place, upper room. Now, the upper room was owned by John Mark's mother. The upper room was owned by John Mark's mother. Big hairy deal, Pastor. It is a big hairy deal. Because you and I learn from that, we want to make sure the Holy Spirit is at home in our house. Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room in the Last Supper, and then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and visits them in the upper room, and so we need to make sure that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and reign and be Lord of our house. Yeah, and give him place at our house and make our house a worship center and let the Holy Spirit know he's welcome to be at our house as well. The upper room, Last Supper, the upper room, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The upper room was owned by John Mark's mother. So notice they're in the upper room, and this is John 13 through John 17. This is the Last Supper. And this is the last words of Jesus. And what I want you to understand is, well, there's a powerful anointing here right now. I want you to understand is that Jesus' last words, is this important that Pastor teaches on what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in August on Wednesday nights? This was the last thing, the last topic, the last subject, the last words of Jesus in the upper room at the Last Supper, he told them about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if that was the last sermon, the last message, the last teaching, the last focus of our Lord and Savior Jesus, is he wanted them to know the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How important is it for you and me to know the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Am I helping anybody so far? Okay, so let's look here tonight. John 14 and verse 16. John 14, 16. And Jesus said, I'll pray to the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Notice comforter. You know, that's another word for the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost is that he's a comforter. But notice the word another. The word another means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. So Jesus is saying, just like I think, just like I talk, just like I act, I got to go away for your advantage. I'm going to ask the Father to send you someone just like me, and it's the Holy Spirit, and he'll comfort you. He talks like I talk. He thinks like I think. You know, I just recommended a book to our staff called Move the Bus. Move the Bus, Ron Clark, great business book. And I told our staff, read this book, and that's how I think. That's how I think. That's how I think. That's how I talk. Well, it's the same example. Jesus is saying, I got to go away for your advantage, but I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. And another word for comforter is coach. Another word for comforter is coach. Another word for comforter is helper. So we need to see the Holy Spirit as our comforter, but liken it even to as your coach. Now, how do you know that the coach doesn't do it for you? The coach helps you. How many of you remember Sinbad? He's my buddy. Sinbad, the comedian. You know, we had Sinbad here one time on Easter weekend. A whole lot of his family live in St. Louis, okay? Sinbad, the comedian. And we had him come and share his testimony on Easter weekend. Place was packed, curtain was down, full to the very back on Easter was Sinbad. And you know, Sinbad, I was talking to him and I said, you know, do you know anybody that could give me voice lessons? At that time, I said, I'd like for somebody to teach me, you know, so I could keep my voice and save my voice and not get hoarse so many services on a weekend. Do you know anybody? And he said, sure. Sinbad said, you know, I have a voice teacher that does it for my daughter, who at that time sang at the Dream Center out in California, and one of the worship leaders. And he said, her name is Stephanie. She lives in Pasadena, and she does all kinds of voice lessons for the rich and famous movie stars, celebrities. I know she'd do it for you. So Sinbad called her. Her name's Stephanie. Boy, I got to hustle. I got 6 minutes to splash. And so Sinbad called her, and she said, sure. So Daniel and I got on a plane, flew to Pasadena, California, went to her house, beautiful lady, loves the Lord, sold out, spirit-filled, on fire for God. And so we went to her house to get voice lessons, okay? Daniel for singing, me for speaking. So we went to her house, and guess what? When I went there, went to her downstairs, she had a studio, and so she was my voice coach. And guess what? As my coach, she wasn't going to sing for me. She wasn't going to speak for me. Y'all get that? I had to do it. She was going to help me. I think sometimes we think the Holy Spirit's going to do it, and the Holy Spirit isn't going to do it. He's going to walk along the side of you, and he's going to tell you how to do it. And then he's going to help you, but he expects you to do your part. Does that make sense? Wow. So he's our helper. He's our comforter. Look at the next verse real quick. Verse 26. But the comforter, do you see here's another scripture with a reference of comforter? And another word for comforter is coach and helper. Coach and helper. So the Holy Spirit wants to be your life coach. He wants to go alongside of you, and he wants to begin to speak to you and help you. Aren't you glad we're not in this alone, that he wants to help us? Now, he's not going to do it for us. Holy Spirit, you know, I just want to praise the Lord today. Why don't you do it for me? Holy Spirit, I need to witness to so-and-so. Why don't you do it for me? It's not going to happen, is it, church? Holy Spirit, I'd love to give to God tonight. Why don't you just do it for me? No, he's going to help you, tell you what to give. He's going to help you, tell you what to say to that person. He's going to help you praise God when you don't feel like doing it, but you got to praise God. Okay, am I helping anybody now? Okay, so the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send him in my name, he'll teach you all things, bring to all things your remembrance whatsoever. I just want you to notice the word again, Comforter. It's used 4 times in these Gospels. John 15, verse 26, as the team comes out. John 15, 26. But when the who? Comforter is come. So notice again, the Holy Spirit referred to as Comforter. And then the fourth time, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it's expedient and advantageous for you that I go, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. So did you see 4 scriptures in John 13 through 17 where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter? And the Comforter means coach, and it means helper. So you and I this month, I want you to get to know him as your coach. I want you to get to know him as your life coach, who wants to come alongside you, and he's been called by God. There's a calling on the Holy Spirit, and that calling is to help you. Isn't that awesome? Now, let me just jump, if we could, to these takeaway points. Could we jump to those right away, because we're out of time? I want to give you 3 points. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not power. You can't have a relationship with power. You can't have a relationship with a feeling. You can only have a relationship with a person. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our partner, and he's your life coach. Comforter means coach. And a coach helps you. They don't do it for you. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, then number three, the Holy Spirit is called. Didn't he say, that he's going to pray to the Father, send another comforter, another life coach. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit is my coach. He's called to help me. Wow. So these three points. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. In John 13 through John 17, the last thing Jesus said in the upper room is he focused on the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Last words are important. So you and I then, if it's important then, it's important now that we get to know him as a person and understand his ministry. So he's a person. Number two, he's your partner. He's your coach. And then number three, the Holy Spirit is called, has a calling, and that's to help you. Now, here's our takeaways. Can we give the next one? What do I do, Pastor? Number one, or A, be open to pursue a relationship with him. Some Christians, you know, they don't really care. They're indifferent. They think it's automatic. How many know when you want to build a relationship with somebody, it's not automatic? Come on, it's intentional. If you want to get close to somebody, you got to pursue them. I want to challenge you to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit you don't have. Even if you've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, 40 years, I want to challenge you to get closer to him. So A, be open to pursue a relationship with him. B, ask for his what? Help daily. Remember, he's called to be your helper. Comforter means coach and one who helps. Okay? C, take away, read, study over this month, John 13 through John 17. Double dog dare you. Promise you that you'll be closer to him and your life will be better at the end of this month.